Well, good morning to you. And welcome to The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You know, as national days go, it really doesn't get any better than this one. It's National Chili Day.
What's that smell? Onions? Chili powder? Cumin? Juicy ground chuck? It's chili! Oh my God, I'm missing a chili cook-off!
You know, some people like their chili with a lot of beans and not much meat. Others, more meat than beans. I compromise by just having a heck of a lot of both. Enjoy yourselves. Coming up on the show, it's code red for the Leafs' blue line.
It's not ideal, but it's part of the gig.
So it's time for others to step up.
Tyson Barrie, I think, is the guy that jumps off the page.
Callie Rosen is ready.
Know the coach, know the system.
The newest Golden Knight scores in his debut against the Oilers.
Sixth Golden Knight to score in his Vegas debut this season.
The newest Oiler leaves the game with injury.
He's got a lower body injury, so.
Jay Bouwmeester won't play anymore this season.
Evaluate things as they go.
The self-proclaimed best player in the world is injured.
Brett Brown goes over to check on Embiid.
Sharapova calls it a career.
I'm saying goodbye.
And too much scoring leads to not enough scoring. All this and much more straight ahead in the February 27th edition of The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell. So I wouldn't blame the Toronto Maple Leafs at all if they felt just a little bit like Charlie Brown running up to kick the football right about now. And if it weren't for bad luck, Leafs wouldn't have any luck at all. Defenseman Jake Muzzin will miss the next 4 weeks with a broken hand suffered after getting hit by a shot Tuesday in Tampa Bay. Now, that injury came just a day after Muzzin signed a four-year extension. So with the Leafs already missing Morgan Rielly and Cody Ceci to long-term injuries, the Leafs' back end is about as thin as a supermodel convention. Coach Sheldon Keefe was taking the news in stride.
It's not ideal, but I mean it's part of the gig, right? It's the reason why you acquire depth and the reason why you develop players, the reason why you have a good and healthy minor league system, is to be able to have these situations happen and then continue to press on.
So it's time for those who are still healthy to step up, and Keefe knows exactly who he'll be leaning on the most.
Tyson Barrie, I think, right away is the guy that jumps off the page in terms of the experience that he provides on defense. Might be wrong, but he might have more games played than every single other guy combined. Something in that neighborhood anyhow, so you know we're going to have to rely on him in that sense.
Travis Dermott says when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. He didn't really say that, but you know what I mean.
It's an opportunity for everyone to step up here. We obviously want to build on it. You want to take the pros out of everything, and obviously Muzzy's a big part of our team that we lost. It seems like a lot of guys were losing our big parts. So I think it's just an opportunity for everyone to grow, guys to step into some shoes that they're not used to being in.
The Leafs' deadline trade to reacquire defenseman Callie Rosen was seen as a depth move at the time. Well, Rosen is ready to step in and play right away and says it should be easier that it's his second time around with the Leafs.
I mean, for sure, I would say it's easy. It definitely makes it easier. And, know the coach, know the system pretty well. And, have the guys to talk to both in the locker room and outside. And it definitely makes it easier.
So the Leafs' blue line heading into tonight's all-important clash with the Panthers consists of Barrie, Rasmus Sandin, and most of the starting core of the Marlies championship run from a couple of years ago. Dermott, Rosen, Martin Marincin, Timothy Liljegren, and Justin Hall.
We've been joking about it. We're so close to the 17-18 Calder Cup championship decor, so that's what we've been laughing about it, and we've been saying, you know, it is a championship decor. There's no question about that. Yeah.
Better to laugh about it, I guess. Leafs need these 2 points tonight in Sunrise. It's as simple as that. They lead the Panthers by just 2 points in the race for third in the Atlantic, but Florida still has that game in hand. Leafs and Panthers tonight, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Late night in the NHL last night, just three games. The Oilers were in Vegas, baby. Edmonton came in trailing the Golden Knights by just 2 points for the top spot in the Pacific Division. Trailing in the game, 2-0 early in the third. The newest Oiler, Andreas Athanasiou, left the game with a lower body injury. Then the newest Golden Knight made good in his debut.
Schmidt out of the line. Martinez, a one-timer! And that's blocked! Second shot, score!
Former Hab Nick Cousins getting his firsts for the Golden Knights and 10th on the season. Postgame, Cousins was asked about getting on the board in his debut.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's been a crazy couple days here with all the travel and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's no better way to be thrown in the fire than play a game at home. And, no, it was fun out there. I think as the game went on, I got a little bit better and obviously nice to contribute.
Another former Hab, Max Pacioretty, hit the 30-goal plateau for the fifth time in his career, first time since 2017. 3-0 Vegas, the final. Marc-Andre Fleury stopping 29 shots for his 61st career shutout, tying him for 17th in the all-time list with Leafs legend Turk Broda. So maybe you saw this yesterday, a picture of a young Patrick Marleau wearing a Penguins t-shirt. It was adorable. Longtime Shark and short-time Leaf made his debut for the Penguins last night in Los Angeles. Marleau held off the score sheet, just like most of his new teammates.
Johnson's pass broken up. Lizotte carries it into the Pittsburgh end. Plays it ahead for Lewis and on goal, a chance, save, score! Trevor Lewis on the rebound. Trevor Lewis got the lead pass on left wing, took it to the net, had a chance. Save was made. Lewis got his own rebound.
2-1 Kings the final, and sure, the Kings suck, but they've won four of their past seven games, which for them is pretty good.
I know.
We get it. It's pretty good. The other game last night of the Avalanche at home to the Sabres, Colorado looking for a fourth straight win. Guess what? They got it.
Donskoy, deep slot for Sam Girard, fake the shot, now far side hash marks towards the net. Pat save made, rebound, they score! It's Count! It's Martin Count! His first career National Hockey League goal has the ass on top. And how happy is that kid? Martin Count.
Well, I'd say he's pretty happy, I guess. But really the question is, what is true happiness? Can happiness be defined by simple material wealth or success? Or is it something deeper, something within that maybe you're predisposed to? Anyway, Avs win at 3-2. Just a couple of weeks ago that we looked on in horror as Blues defenseman Jay Bouwmeester slumped to the ground while on the bench during a game in Anaheim. A defibrillator was used to revive Bouwmeester from what was called a cardiac incident at the time. Well, yesterday, a recovering Bouwmeester met the media to update us on his condition.
A scary thing, but everything's been going pretty good lately. And we'll just continue to evaluate things as they go.
The 36-year-old Bouwmeester hasn't made any decision on his future just yet, but Blues GM Doug Armstrong says Bouwmeester is done for this year.
We both understand that he won't participate this year in the regular season or playoffs for us. We talked about longer-term things that may or may not happen, and both feel that, you know, it's February. You don't have to make long-term decisions at this point.
Also done for the season, Montreal defenseman Victor Mete, who has a broken foot, which he suffered last week against the Red Wings. Mete played 51 games this season with his first four NHL goals and 11 assists. On to basketball now. Raptors get back to work tomorrow night against the Charlotte Hornets, who will be without Malik Monk, who's been suspended indefinitely for violating the NBA's anti-drug program. Last night, Raptors point guard Kyle Lowry was back at his alma mater at Villanova in Philadelphia, where the Wildcats retired Lowry's number one jersey. Good stuff. On the court, Philly's professional basketball team was in Cleveland first quarter, and Sixers fans weren't liking this.
Embiid is bent over now, grabbing to his left shoulder. Brett Brown goes over to check on Embiid. Zizic got picked off, came back, made contact there with Embiid.
Yeah, it turns out it is a sprained shoulder for Embiid, who wore a sling on the bench, appeared to be in some pain. The Cavaliers took advantage of that.
Into the forecourt on the right side. Collin running the lane, shoots and hits. Collin Sexton pushes the lead back to nine. Sexton around a Thompson screen. Stops. Three. Good! Colin Sexton drains the three ball. Timeout, Philadelphia.
Cleveland goes on to win at 108-94. The Sixers fall to 9-21 on the road. Really, really good at home. Terrible on the road. Celtics were in Utah, where Jason Tatum continued his hot streak.
Lobs it towards Tatum. Tatum against Bogdanovich. Spins on him, drives baseline. Tatum hangs in the air, flips it with the left hand, and scores again. Tatum to his left. Bogdanovich on him. Tatum steps to the left. Three in the air. Got it!
Ooh, good night, everybody. Drive safely.
Celtics win at 114-103 to move to within one game of the Raptors for second in the Eastern Conference. Tatum with 33 points and 11 rebounds marked his third consecutive game with at least 30 points while shooting 60% or better from the field. Kevin McHale, the last Celtics player to do that, way back in March of 1987. Well, another night, another great night for the Mavs' Luka Doncic.
To his left, Doncic puts his head down, he hangs, he banks, and he scores, and he's got a chance in an and-one, and that's how the first half began for Luka. Doncic left, played by Gay, 10 to shoot, backs up for three, kill shot for Luka Doncic with a minute 51 remaining.
Mavs beat the Spurs 109-103. Doncic with a triple-double, 26 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. Doncic turns 21 tomorrow. His 21 triple-doubles before the age of 21 is easily the most in NBA history, ahead of Magic Johnson's 7 and LeBron James's 5. And we finish up our tour of the association with the T-Wolves in Miami, where Jimmy Butler returned to the Heat after missing two games because of personal reasons. But even the return of Jimmy Buckets could not help Miami.
Malik Beasley will bring it back the other way. Here's D'Lo, stop and pop, angle three, and he hits. D'Angelo Russell from long range. D'Angelo holds up top. Now long three, 30-footer on the way, and he hits. My goodness, bringing the rain. A high arcing deep three from 30 feet out.
Minnesota wins at 129-126, handing the Heat their seventh loss in their past nine games. Coming up, the Blue Jays named their leadoff hitter. Their proposed new NFL deal is going over like a lead balloon with veteran players. See you later, Sharapova. Habib says Conor McGregor can go pound sand. And getting it on isn't getting it done for one European soccer club. Stick around. You know they call Florida the Sunshine State, right? Was anything but yesterday. Jays and Tigers rained out in Dunedin thanks to a torrential downpour. But there's still stuff to talk about with the Jays, like how they've named Bo Bichette as their leadoff hitter for this coming season. Manager Charlie Montoyo says after the year that Bichette had last season, it was an easy choice.
I don't expect anybody to come out and do what he did. He was breaking records last year, you know. But I want him to get 5 at-bats and 4 at-bats, you know, and if I see him coming again in the top on the bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth, if we're on the road, that's great. You know, that's good. I see him. If he's going to be that player, I want him to be get 5 at bats. That's why I'm leading him off.
Bichette hit .313 with 11 home runs and an OPS of .939 when leading off games last season. Jays and Twins today. Catch it on MLB.com at 1:00. Well, NFL owners are pretty psyched up about that new proposed collective bargaining agreement calling for a 17-game schedule and a shorter preseason. A lot of veteran players know exactly where the owners can put it. Player reps did vote 17-14 with one abstention to send the proposal to the full union membership. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was one of the 14 player reps to vote against the deal on Tuesday. He took to social media yesterday saying, "I voted no last night. 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the added benefits and had nothing to do with positive feedback received about any extra risks involved with the added regular season game." Now, that extra game could put more than $250,000 into the pockets of players. But Steelers offensive lineman Marcus Pouncey isn't exactly sold on the idea. In fact, he hates it.
Man, this is so
fucking crazy, man. I vote no. PA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, all fucking bull. That they ain't looking out for the best of the players. If y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player or any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the fuck up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bullshit-ass deal just so these motherfuckers sitting there president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get done.
So many swears.
Oh, that's greasy.
Kind of, yeah. Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime bounced out of the Mexican Open in straight sets yesterday, 6-4, 6-4 by Britain's Kyle Edmund. Meantime, five-time Grand Slam winner Maria Sharapova announced her retirement yesterday.
How do you walk away from the courts you've trained on since you were a little girl, the game that you love, one that brought you untold tears and unspeakable joys, a sport where you found a family, along with fans who rallied behind you for more than 28 years? 28 years is a really long time. Tennis, I'm saying goodbye. Well, this is all I got for now. Bye. Such a dork.
No, she's not. Sharapova won the career slam, capturing Wimbledon in 2004 as a 17-year-old, the U.S. Open in 2006, the Australian Open in 2008, and the French Open twice in 2012. In 2014, Sharapova's career, though, was also tainted by the use of PEDs, for which she was suspended in 2016. UFC stuff. If Conor McGregor wants a rematch with Khabib Nurmagomedov, he's going to have to wait and wait. Khabib reiterating yesterday, he's in no hurry to fight McGregor anytime soon.
Conor picked very good opponent. You know, now he come back and beat Cowboy, who lost last 10 fights 7 times. He have to fight with really tough opponents. For my legacy, I have to be tough opponents like Dustin Poirier, like Quinta, like other guys, or like right now is Tony Ferguson. I have to beat all of them who's like real contenders, not fake contenders.
The Masters, just over a month away in Augusta, Georgia. Beautiful Augusta, Georgia, a place where I'll never get the chance to play. We're all waiting to see how Tiger's going to do. He's the defending champion here, so he gets to pick the menu for the champion's dinner. And the details were released yesterday. Tiger's going to have fajitas and sushi. So that was part of his childhood menu growing up in Southern California. He says he's also going to serve milkshakes for dessert, just like he did during the 1998 dinner. Sounds delicious. Anybody else hungry? On the station today, leadoff with Ziggy and Scotty Mac has former NHLer Chris Versteeg on at 7:30. Good show. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Michael Lee, is on. And on writer's block today, IOC VP Dick Pound on at 4:25.
Time for The Extra Point.
Oh, yeah. Maybe wondering why we're playing this music. There's a very good reason. Like, it's not a good reason. It's a funny reason. The flamboyant owner of Bucharest Football Club in Romania, Gigi Becali, says he thinks he knows exactly what's to blame for his team's recent poor run in the Romanian league. Too much sex. The 1986 European Cup winners. By the way, Romania's most successful club with 26 league titles. Well, they failed to win in their last three games. In fact, Becali said after his team's 1-1 draw, that was their last game, he said, "My players are making love with their girlfriends too often. That's why they aren't playing football so well lately."
Oh, sexy girlfriend!
Who knows? Maybe they'll start playing better. Hey, thanks for listening to The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell. If you missed any part of this, or you want to listen in on your way into work, just download us anywhere you find your favorite podcast.